Good to have you worship the Lord with us today. God bless you. God bless you. Hey, can you imagine the weather is changed? Christmas is right around the corner. You had to think that when it went from hot to cold. Okay, is it wintertime already? You know, it's just, you never know with St. Louis, do you? Hey, huge shout out to all the youth that worked last week and they're involved in Youth Sunday. Give them a hand clap. Didn't they do a great job? Every one of them. So proud of them. And if you don't know, our youth are going to camp the first week of August. It's going to be actually our, every year they go to camp, but this is our very first year to host our own camp. And it's going to be Lake Williamson. And we have right now 72 teens signed up to go, which is just so exciting. So if you have a teenager between 12 and 19, oh, please help me, Jesus. 12. I said 8, didn't I? I just expanded the horizons. And the counselors are jumping out the windows. 12 to 19, and you haven't signed up. We'd love for you to go. Information will be in the portico, and it's going to be an amazing time. You ready for the word?
Yeah.
Come on, put your hands together one more time. We have been doing this series on the Comforter, talking about the Holy Spirit, the help of the helper. The paraclete is the original Greek word as far as the Comforter. And it's amazing how many different areas and how involved the Holy Spirit can and wants to be in our lives. Amen. When you begin to look at all the different roles and all the different things that we've been talking about that he wants to do in our lives, you really come to the realization that the level of impact that you can have in life and your walk with God and in the lives of those around you is a key element in understanding who the Holy Spirit is in your life. Because he is the helper who helps you love God, serve God, read the Bible, understand the Bible, pray. I mean, it goes on and on. And one of the areas that the Holy Spirit helps all of us in is in this area that we're going to talk about today, what to do when you feel stuck, held back, or under attack. Have you ever been there?
Yeah.
Maybe there today. I don't know. I mean, you and the Lord knows, but I think it's a natural rhythm for all of us. You'll never reach your destiny in life with 100% approval by everyone. You'll never reach the destiny that God has for you. You'll never do anything, actually, in life of any level of achievement worrying about 100% approval.
Right.
It just don't happen. Nobody gets 100% approval.
That's right.
Jesus didn't get 100% approval. Hmm. And there'll be times in our lives that those sometimes good people, just misinformed, can be used of the devil. Sometimes it's just the people that don't know the Lord. Sometimes we just find ourselves, according to John 10:10, there is a thief that's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And the devil will set up strategies to try to hold you back or bring you under attack. David is a great story, and I love this because there's so many different angles when you talk about David's life. But David, even before he had the opportunity to fight Goliath, he had several opportunities in that whole transition as you studied out for yourself where he was stuck, held back, and under attack, all three of them. And how we handle those situations allows us to move into the next chapter or next season or advance or be promoted, call it anything you want. But all of us have to be willing to understand that in life, those moments can and will most likely happen. The devil's not going to applaud you because you love Jesus with all your heart and you decided that this time you're going to give him everything and serve him no holds bar and you're just going to go for it. And the devil's not going to look at you and say, wow, what a great commitment. You know what, demons, I think he's really sincere about it this time, so let's just leave him alone. And I apologize to anybody over here when I said, you know what I mean, referencing about, that wasn't calling nobody a demon. So anyway, it just dawned on me as I was playing that out that I just, you know what I mean, could look at somebody and, oh, pastor called me a demon. No, I wasn't. But the devil's not going to applaud your commitment. And not everybody's going to applaud your decision and commitment. So when we face those moments, we find ourselves in the journey of life when we're stuck, held back, or under attack, what do? And how does that relate to the Holy Spirit? And how do we make this work? Because if we don't know how to handle the season we're in, we can find ourselves in that season a long time.
Yeah.
And many times we wait and say, God, I want you to just fix all this. And sometimes when we study the word, we'll find it's not God, us waiting on God, it's God waiting on us.
Yes.
What if there was something God was expecting you to do to break through to your next season? Which old joke I've told so many times about the guy who's robbing a house and everybody's asleep or gone. And he's going through the flashlight. He's looking for stuff and pulling stuff in his bag. And And all of a sudden, he hears this voice. Jesus is going to get you. He shakes his head, looks around the room, and there's nobody. Everybody's gone or in bed. So he thought, oh, it's imagination. And so he starts putting stuff in his bag and hears, Jesus is going to get you. He looks again, and you know, I mean, this goes on a couple times, and finally his light comes across a big parrot, and he's like, oh, you crazy parrot, I need to kill you. You had me, you know, I mean, scared him the whole nine yards. There's a parrot saying, Jesus is going to get you. And he went over and said, you're lucky. I don't have time. I'd kill you right now, you dumb bird. And all of a sudden, as he's talking to the bird, he hears a roar, and he looks down. And there's this 120-pound Rottweiler. Teeth showing. Come on, salivation dripping. And he looks slowly over there, and he hears the parrot say, sick him, Jesus. I want to know how to say, sick him, Jesus. When the devil's been messing with my money. I want to know how to say, sick him, Jesus. When the doctor calls, say, I don't like what I'm seeing. You need to come in Tuesday. I want to know how to say, sick him, Jesus. When my kids start acting up and that's not the way they were raised. I want to know how to say, sick him, Jesus. When turmoil surrounds me and storms surround, I want to know how to say, sick him, Jesus. When I don't know where to turn and everything seems impossible. I want to know how to say, sick him, Jesus. Sick him, Jesus. Woo! Sick him, Jesus. I don't know how to open that door. We've waited too long to say, well, if God's going to do it, he'll just do it in his own time. No, no, no. He puts you in authority. Jesus said, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What you loose. Well, I'll just wait. If he wants me to have it. No, no, no. He's already provided it by the blood. What are we waiting for? We're sons and daughters of God, children of God. I want to know how to say, sick him, Jesus, because I know there's a greater on the inside of me, and I want to make sure my greater has an appointment with the lesser. I want to know how my God can have an appointment with the enemy. I want to know how my victory can have an appointment with my challenge so they can meet face to face, and we can get this thing resolved once and for all. I'm tired of dangling up one day and someday. I'm tired of messing with, oh, let's just get a little bit better. I want to have a one-on-one, head-on collision. Call it what you want. I want to put up an octagon and put two people in and let the winner take all. Come on, somebody. Tired of just let just a little, maybe, possibly, maybe tomorrow. No, no, no. I want to sick him, Jesus. I want to release my Jesus to be Jesus. So that dead devil runs. The Bible says they might come at you in one direction, but not by me. By the time they get to you, they're going to flee in seven directions. That's what I want to see. I want to see that no weapon formed against me will prosper, and every word spoken against me in judgment will be condemned. Or I condemn it, for this is your right heritage of the Lord. Come on, somebody. So how do we open that door? How do we say, sick him, Jesus? If you'd like to know what that is. Well, if you have your Bibles, Isaiah 59 is a key verse bringing in the Holy Spirit into the context of this. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, we're going to start reading at verse 19, but before we read, let's pray. Father, we thank you, for this is the day you have made. We rejoice and we're glad in it. And Father God, before we were awakened to this day, before we knew anything about this day, before we took one step, said one word, breathed one breath in this day, you already knew everything that you had in store for us today, where you wanted us to be, what you want us to do, who you want us to interact with. What you want us to receive today. So, Father God, our goal today is that your will be done. We open our hearts and our lives, and we pray that you speak and impart into us what you want us to receive today from you. And we give you the praise. And everybody said,
Amen.
Isaiah 59:19, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. When the enemy comes in like a flood. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about that verse from the context of that comma, because in the King's English and in your English Bible, there's a comma that happens after the flood. When the enemy comes in like a flood, and then there's a pause. But you know, in the original Hebrew text, there is no comma. That wasn't used. And so there has to come a translation from the Hebrew into the English. And one of the things that I believe that they did is I believe that that comma was misplaced. And my logic to that, and you might disagree, and that's okay. My logic to that is that a flood is not containable. But the devil is containable.
Yes.
If you're going to put in any of these two personalities that's in the context of this verse, which one is not containable, I would say that God is not containable and the devil is.
Right.
Can I get an amen?
Yes.
But I mean, if you want to look at it like, oh, it just means overwhelmed, that's fine too. But I really believe it goes along this way. When the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will set up a standard against them. The only question I have now, if either one of those are right, it still brings me to the same question. How do I get the Holy Spirit to help me to create a standard that separates me from the enemy's attack? What do I need to do? How do I bring this into context? How do I move from just hearing about it or knowing it or reading it or memorizing it or talking about it to actually living it, that when I feel stuck, held back, or under attack? Do I have a red phone like Batman? Do I have a button that I can hit? What do I do? What do I incorporate in the daily routine in my life or in the darkness of that moment that enables me to permit or allow, if we find out as we look at the scriptures that maybe it's not God saying, just wait on me. Maybe God is saying, why don't you do something? I'm waiting on you. Because we know James says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. We know there's always an act of faith before we see the demonstration.
Right.
We have to believe before we see. Maybe there's some act of faith that God is waiting that gives him permission to step in to the moment of what we're dealing with. Because we can read all day about how God had Israel shout to the walls and the walls of Jericho fell down. We could talk about how God sent praisers down and the enemies that were so outnumbering Israel fell and started killing each other and Israel had a great victory. That we could talk about story after story, how David faced the giant and killed it. But the better question today is how do I, when I'm under the pressure of financial attack, how do I pay those bills? When I'm under the situation of that was my job and someone else got it. That was my promotion, but they gave it to somebody else. That was my idea, and they took it, and they got the promotion. And I've been in this job for so long, I deserve to be at that next level. What do we do? How do we bring in the context of what God says by principle into the application of our daily lives so that when we feel or experience when we're stuck, held back, or under attack, we can incorporate this that gives God, the one who has all power, that with him there's nothing that's impossible.
Amen.
Access into our problem that from all natural perspective does look impossible. How do we bring the Lord into this? If it was just the fact of maybe, oh, well, the devil's going to do something, God's going to do something. Well, we've all been in a situation where the devil's done something. We looked around and said, okay, Lord, what happened? Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, so maybe there's something else we're missing. Maybe there's something else we're missing. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. We know the context of the verse that says that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So the greatness of who's inside you, the presence of God, is much greater than the enemy outside around you.
Yes.
So the challenge around you really can't be compared to the victory inside you.
Man.
So the powers that be that attack you are no comparison to the power that's inside you. Greater is he. Greater is he. Greater is he. Greater. Say that with me. Say greater.
Greater.
Greater is he that is in you, on the inside of you, into your spirit person. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Amen. So the ones that are attacking you, the ones that are trying to hold you back, because if the devil can't stop you, he'll try to detour you or hold you back. And the ones that are out against you, they can't compete and compare to the one who's inside, who's for you. Amen. Yes. We just got to make sure that they have an opportunity to meet. Come on, somebody. We have to make sure that there is an appointment that they can meet each other so we can get this thing resolved.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's like having the potential but not having access. It's kind of like someone stopping you at a restaurant or at a store or at a gas station saying, I'm going to rob you. And you say, wait a minute, I have a big gun at home. Let me go get my big gun at home and I'll meet you. That's probably not going to work, is it? Because having something that you don't access doesn't empower you for the moment at hand. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. I want you to look at Isaiah 54. Did I get your attention today? Are you with me? We're going to read a scripture and we're going to break it down with support. Isaiah 54, let me read starting with verse 1. Sing, O barren, thou that did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that did not travail with child. Now I want you to, let me give you a little background to this. In the Old Testament, they looked as when you were a mother and you had children, or your woman had children, that you were blessed of God. And if you were a woman in those days and didn't have children and you were barren, they considered that a curse. So if you went without having children, then it was like a bad mark. Something's hidden sin, a problem. Did you hear me? And so those women that would live under that, they lived under the dark cloud of everybody thinking of that there's something wrong in their life, that they're under the judgment of God, they're under a curse. We got to stop that in the church world, because that creeps in even today. If somebody goes through a problem, there's a tendency of people saying, I wonder what's going on.
Right.
Maybe nothing. Maybe they just are under an attack.
Right.
I mean, some attacks we cause, some attack, you're like, oh, Pastor, you got to pray for my boss. I mean, he's being used to the devil. He's just attacking me. What's going on? Oh, he's just been yelling at me every day. Well, what are you doing? I show up work an hour late, but that doesn't mean it. He's just... Some attacks you cause, all right? I love it when people so super spiritualize stuff, they totally mess things up. And then they tell all their friends, oh, the Lord's leading me. Well, no, that's not what happened. You're not telling the truth at all. Don't lie, and don't blame Jesus when you do. Some attacks we cause ourselves. And we got to be mature enough to say, wow, you know what? I'm not being attacked. I'm just, this is just a result of my bad conduct. You know, don't chew out the boss. You know what I mean? I need to mark that down, the things I don't do. You know what I mean? Then he gets mad at me, yells at me, and fires me. And I'm like, oh, the devil's attacking me. No, that wasn't the devil. That was you. But even in life, you'll find yourselves under attack even when you do everything right. And just because you're under attack doesn't mean that you've done something wrong. Right? If we don't understand that, boy, we can really lose mercy in the lives of other people. God's created this church, the concept of the church, in my opinion, one of the huge things is that community, that connection, that power that we support each other, we encourage each other. And as each part does what they're supposed to do, the body grows in love. And there's something about, listen, I'm hurting. You know, if you smash your hand, your other hand doesn't start attacking it. Your body goes toward healing it.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's almost like the animals in the forest, or, you know what I mean, the wild animals. They can all like each other and stay together as a pack, but one get hurt, and they all attack the one that's hurt. It's the craziest thing. We shouldn't be like that in the church world. It's kind of like we're the only army that kills our wounded. You know what I mean? Someone's hurting. That's not the time to attack. That's the time to lift up and heal. Because it might not be God's judgment. They just might be under attack.
Right.
Maybe they're attacking the enemy because of what God has in store for them. Can you imagine look at Sarai, who later became Sarah, the wife of Abraham, and say, oh, you're under a curse, and God knew all the time, I'm going to use her and him to birth a new nation.
Right.
Got to be careful. That's a side note. The single barren. I want you to notice she, at that point, if she was barren, in her perspective, in her religious training, and sometimes some of us have been religiously brainwashed and not Bible taught, but anyway, that's another story for another time. But in her perspective, come on somebody, in her perspective, she lived under a curse. And there's times in your life when you're under attack, stuck, or held back. You'll go through that process because the devil sure is accommodating to whisper it in your ear or send somebody down your path that, oh, it's probably something you've done wrong. God's mad at you.
Right.
I haven't done anything wrong. You sure there's not a secret sin somewhere? Not that I know of. Well, let's dig a little deeper. And they'll try to dig all. I mean, you can dig anybody's life, eventually find something. But according to the Bible, when you repent, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. That means it no longer existed. And that's why you got to depend on the Holy Spirit. If there's judgment from God, let the Holy Spirit speak to you and show you. So a quick prayer to that is, Lord, if there's something I've done wrong, speak to my heart. Show me. If there's a sin in my life that's causing this, show me. I'll repent of it, and I want it fixed. You don't have to live in the dark. You don't have to be confused about it. The Lord will show you. I mean, the Holy Spirit is a great way of bringing out you and show, oh, now I see what I was doing. Oh, okay, Lord, I get it now. I repent of that. But one of the strategies of the devil is that the Holy Spirit's not showing you because there's no sin, but the devil convinces you that that God's mad at you. And he'll even send people, sometimes good people, sometimes even church people, say, oh, you know what, I've been praying for you. I think there's something in your life.
Come on.
Man, if you don't know what's going on, there's that lack of confidence to even stand strong. The Bible does say, having done all, stand strong, that there is that we inherit the promises of God with faith and patience. There is a duration from believing to receiving.
Yes.
There is a time frame between sowing and reaping.
Yes.
There is a time of, okay, God, I'm doing what you're telling me to do. Where's the result? Well, sometimes it takes time.
Right.
And during that time, the devil's going to try to rob your confidence. That's why the Bible says, don't cast away your confidence, for it is a great recompense, a great payment of reward. Because if you lose your confidence, you quit standing strong. If you quit standing strong, you walk away. And if you're walking away, you're the one to shut it down, not God and not the devil.
Right.
You receive by faith and patience. Did you hear me? We have to learn to have confidence in what God is saying in his word. To be bold, for the righteous are bold as a lion. Do you know when you feel like maybe there's something somewhere, I don't know yet, but maybe something. No, that will torment you to the place of losing your confidence. You'll no longer be bold, which means you're no longer confident in your right standing with God. That's a tactic of the devil. And when the devil throws it at you, all you have to do is say, shut up, devil, and just say, Lord, if there's something, you show me. Until then, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to do what I know to do. If there's something else, you show me. Bring it to my attention. What if I don't hear? Don't you think the Holy Spirit can show you?
Yes,
absolutely. Don't you think he wrote the Bible? Don't you think that he can bring it to your attention? You can just open. I don't know what I'm going to read today. You open your Bible. All of a sudden, there's that verse that you got to read. Wham! It jumps off the page. You're like, okay, Lord, I get it.
Yeah.
See, if we really believe in the Holy Spirit, he is well capable of instructing and guiding and revealing to you the desire and the plan, the will of the Father for your life. And if there needs to be a tweaking, a changing, he can show you. He can even give you a scripture.
Yes.
Well, I don't know how I remembered that scripture. It just came to me. I'll tell you, you're not that smart. Just put it down. It was the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Verses will come to me. Even while I'm preaching, all of a sudden, ideas of verses. Hey, you got to realize, it's no longer I. You got to get that place of, it's not about me. It's all about him. He is well able and capable of showing you.
Hallelujah.
Don't lose your confidence.
Amen.
Don't lose your confidence. And if you have, let's get it back. Notice that verse again. We're back. We're staying there for a while. Sing, O barren, you who did not bear, and break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who did not travail with child. So begin to sing even while you're barren.
Yes.
I'll sing when I have a child. I'll sing when it seems like the curse has been broken. I'll sing when my prayer has been answered. And you'll wait and probably never sing. Sing. Oh, Baron, and break forth into singing and cry aloud. Notice one of the things we have to do is we have to learn to voice what God is doing before we see what God is doing. We have to learn to voice what God is doing on the inside of us. We have to learn to voice what God is doing before we see what God is doing. Because God is the idea that God is all-powerful, and he is, but he has limited himself to the systems he's created. He watches over his word to perform it, and he will not override your will to get involved in your life. If God would override your will, then he would override everybody's will. And if he would override everybody's will, then he would make everybody get saved, because he doesn't want anybody to perish and go to hell, the Bible says.
Right.
So he waits for the invitation. Jesus said in Revelation 3, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open up, I come in. I can't come in until you open up. You can't open up until you hear and recognize who it is. There's a response to the prompting of God. There's a response. And we have to learn that we can't wait for an emotion. We can't wait for ideal scenarios. We can't wait for it all to be done. We can't wait for our prayers to be answered. We can't wait for the breakout season before we begin to shout unto God. We need to learn to sing and shout and make a joyful noise unto the Lord before we are in our breakout season.
Yes.
Did you hear me? Before. Say before.
Before.
But Pastor, you understand what they did. I'm really feeling bad. I know, but you're a man and woman of faith. You're not moved by what you feel, hear, or see. Your emotions might be screaming at you, but you just tell your emotions to shut up. That you're not going to make decisions of life by your emotions at that moment. But I'm so hurt. I'm moved by what I feel. It doesn't look good. You're not moved by what you feel, hear, or see. Come on, church.
Right.
Come on, I'm trying to help you get to that next level. I'm not trying to help you break out of that stuck, held back, and under attack season for you to move to the next season that God has for you. Because for many, that next season is your promised land. And we have to be willing to look straight into the eyes of the giant who looks impossible and say, this day you will die. This day God will show up. This day God will give you into my hands. This day, I'm going to cut your head off, and you don't even own a sword. But I'm not equipped yet. You don't have to worry. You'll get equipped on the way. God has a way of equipping you as you go. But I don't know how to run a business. Don't worry about it. You begin to do what God tells you, and as you go, he'll show you. I just don't know if I can handle it. You can handle it at the moment, but you're not there in the right moment yet. But when you get to the divine right moment, the God moment, what you need will make itself available. It will reveal itself. See, too many of us, we look for all the tools and all the preparation and all the, and there's a certain amount of wisdom. But you got to realize that if we wait for everything to come in line before you step, you'll never step. It's analysis by paralysis. Paralysis by analysis. It's a matter of being stuck because you're trying to overanalyze and say, well, when I get all these things in a row, I get all my ducks in a row, and then I'll do it. David realized that he could call out to Goliath and say, this day your head's going to be cut off. He didn't even have a sword, but the sword made itself available at the time he needed it. Even in the business world, they start applying this, and they encourage people, don't look at the tools, start looking at the destination, and on the journey to the destination, the tools will make themselves available.
Right.
You start figuring out how God has to do it, and you're looking at all these methods of how God has to do it, and none of those are working. Start looking at the destination.
Yes.
Start looking at the end.
Yes.
And if you don't know what the end is, just start with Jesus, because he is the Alpha and the Omega, the first, and the last. Start with him. You start pursuing him. And all the other stuff will make itself available.
Yes.
Sing, you who are barren.
Yes.
You can say it this way. Begin to sing and shout and make a noise, you who are stuck, held back, or under attack.
Come on.
I'll praise him when he... No, you understand. You begin to praise him before he does it.
Yes.
Lord, we'll praise you when the walls of Jericho come down. No, you understand. We'll praise you when the enemy's defeated. No, you don't understand. What don't we understand? That your praise opens up a doorway for me to come through and demonstrate to you and those around you who I am. It's just not for sound. It's just not for music. Do your own research. Before David faced Goliath and killed him, count how many times David declared what God was going to do before God did it.
Yes.
Sing, O barren. Sing, those of you who are praying for a blessing, but you still are bouncing checks. Sing, for those of you who are believing for a great marriage and you're on the rocks of divorce. Sing, those who are believing for healing, but you still feel the pain. Sing before you have the miracle.
Yes. Yes. Mm.
Sing. Shout. If the goal is we're learning to let that which is or who that which is on the inside of us out to the that which we're fighting on the outside. We're trying to release the greater inside to deal with the problem on the outside. And if we don't learn how to identify and do that, what we try to do then is attack the outside without the greater from the inside. Don't attack until you're strong. Did you hear me?
Yes.
Don't attack until you're strong on the inside. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Don't attack. See, the devil will try to get you to attack by his attack. And that's not an attack, that is a react. And when you react to his attack, he's defining the timing. And when he defines the timing, you can guarantee you're in the vulnerable state. Because the devil doesn't attack you when you're strong. He attacks you when you're weak. He attacks you when you're what I call the halt time, when you're in a hurry, when you're angry, when you're lonely, and you're tired. He attacks you when you're at the bottom, not the top. Wouldn't it be better if the devil waited till you just got out of prayer meeting or church or your own time with the Lord, and you come out of that prayer closet fired up, feeling anointed, encouraged, on cloud nine, and you're ready for the devil. You're looking for the devil, and you can't find the devil. He don't attack then. He attacks when you're at the bottom. He attacks when you had a hard day. He attacks when you didn't get a lot of sleep last night and the boss yelled at you. He attacks. You have to learn not to attack just because you're reacting. You attack at the divine destiny of God. That means when the devil starts messing with you and they say, oh, you got to solve this problem. You got to deal with this now. You better do something. You say, wait a minute, I don't do something right now. You got to think strategic. Have you ever noticed it doesn't matter who's in the office of the presidency? It doesn't matter that if he's listening to his generals, that if something happens, they'll get in front of the TV and say, now we're going to deal with this. And, you know, I mean, if it was us, we'd be like, I'm coming for you. You're going to be dead. Right? We'd be like, what's wrong? Why aren't they angry? Don't matter who it is. There's like, why aren't they angry? Why aren't they saying, we're going to kill you and your family. Somebody add a little beep, beep. Have you ever noticed they don't do that? They're like, we're studying the problem and we're looking at the problem. Very calm. Why? What they don't tell you and what they know and what they don't want their enemy to realize. Because we have the greatest military on the planet.
Right.
That when they act like they're being passive and processing and listening, and you can go back to any war we ever dealt with, and it doesn't matter if it's what party or anything. Watch this, watch how okay, American people, we are aware of this, we are dealing with this, but what they don't tell you is the generals are moving fast.
Right.
The soldiers are moving fast. What are they doing? They're getting in place.
Right.
They're moving into the right position. They're not going to attack. They don't start wars with just a few that are there. They say, wait a minute, we're going to get what is needed to the place before we attack.
Right.
So that when we launch,
Yeah. They're
not going to think that our military is based on a few hundred soldiers. We're coming at them with thousands. We're coming at them with missiles. We're coming in with tanks. We're coming in with planes and jets and bombs. We're going to give them a little dose of what we're about. But we can't do it until we're in position.
Right.
Did you hear me? Why? Because they're strategic. A lot of us lose battles in life because we don't think strategic. We attack, but really our attack is a react, because, and we're not in place of strength. You never attack out of a place of weakness, you'll lose. And if you lose a little, then your enemy gets confident. When they get confident, they become a little more bold. And they'll take bigger risks, and that makes you more a chance of being damaged. No, no, no. You sit quietly until you're in position. Why aren't you screaming back at him? Not time. Why aren't you dealing with it? Not the right time. Since when do we let the devil dictate the timing of God? I see you, Goliath. You stay right there. I'll get to you in a minute. Right? David, when he came back from battle many years later with his mighty men, and he was sent back and only to find out that they had invaded his town, his city, his village, and just took all the wives and children, destroyed and took everything, and his own men started to turn on him. He could have reacted. But he said, wait a minute, I got to do something. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He got away. So wait a minute. So he got himself in a place of strength. He got himself back into a place of confidence. He got himself back into a place where he knew the mind of God and he had the strength. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You got to learn. When you react based on emotion, you're gonna miss it.
That's
right. Sure, it makes you feel good that you kind of vent and gave it everything you got, but you want to win.
Right.
The goal is to win,
amen,
not to feel good. The goal is to win, not to vent. The goal is to win, not react. The goal is to win. Did you hear me? So if we don't understand the goal, we can really mess things up. Your goal is to win.
Amen.
Say, my goal is to win.
My goal is to win.
But that doesn't move the way our natural tendency, because we want to act now. We want to get even. We want to deal with it. We want to get it off our plate. We just want to move it behind us. And you can do all those things but still not get a win. The goal is not to act. The goal is to act in a manner that gives you and guarantees you the victory or win. David encouraged himself. Get yourself strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Get yourself into the place that you're... It doesn't mean that the storm stopped. It doesn't mean that the devil's not still throwing things at you. It doesn't mean that your flesh is not screaming, but you get to your place on the inside of your spirit person that you know you're strong.
Yes.
Did you hear me?
Yes.
Strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Why? That positions you to a place of strength. For the righteous, those in right standing are bold. It's a lie. Those who know their God shall be strong and do great exploits.
Yes.
David said to Goliath, you come at me with a sword and a shield and a spear. But I come at you today with a few stones and a sling. No, he didn't. He said, but I come to you today in the name of the God of Israel, the armies of Israel, whom this day you have. He couldn't do it on his own. He even told the king, the same God who delivered me from the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear, will be the same God who delivers me from the hand of this giant. He knew he couldn't do it without God, and he was letting the enemy know. You know what I mean? He was not charging until he knew he was time. Let's get back to the verse. Are you with me? I look at the clock, and they tell me I'm out of time. And I haven't even got started. I feel like I'm at a big dinner and all I got was the appetizer. I'm so hungry. I'm working toward the dessert. Okay. Break forth into singing, cry aloud, thou that did not travail with child. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit. My God. Begin to prepare for what you don't even have.
Yeah.
Your house might be big enough for you when you're barren, but you're going to have kids. Begin to stretch the situation. Because your seed. Wait a minute, how can a barren be? How can someone who has no children begin to make plans for children and what they'll do? Shh, are you listening to me? You know you're in faith. You know you're operating by the faith of God. You know you are stepping in this thing strategically and strong when your expectation and your imagination has moved beyond the obstacle
yes.
and to the miracle.
Amen.
My feet are so bad, I can't even walk. Well, begin. You start once you get to the place of believing and you know you're in faith, your imagination will move beyond the pain and limitation, and your imagination will move, well, I wonder where I can buy some shoes at. You know, I'm thinking about starting running some marathons. How do I get? What are you doing? You're expanding your boundaries. You're moving your horizons. You're breaking forth in preparation for what you don't even see yet. Thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Woo! Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. Neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. What if I fail? What if the devil will always tell you that? Are you sure? You obey God in that. What if it doesn't work? What if you fail? Shh. I wish I had time to preach on this. This could be a series right here. I like this last part. For thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and thou shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. Where I'm taking you, you'll forget the pain you've come through. The breakout season will be of such nature that you will not remember the suffering of the prior season. Come on, somebody. The breakout season. Your breakout season will be of such nature that you ought to write that down. Your breakout season. Someone write that down because I want to remember it later. Your breakout season will be of such nature that you'll not remember the pain of your past. Psalms 47:1. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout, shout, shout. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm a soft-spoken person. You can be a soft-spoken all the time you want. And don't tell me that you're just soft-spoken all the time, because I've seen some of you little grandmas that are real soft-spoken oh, come on, somebody. You mess with their kids, all of a sudden that soft-spoken person rises up. Shout unto God with the voice, of triumph, of victory.
Yes.
You begin to shout unto God, shout unto God, shout unto God. The Bible says, last verse, John 7, it says, he that believes on me, Jesus talking, verse 38 and 39, the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit. What is he saying? We got to allow the greater on the inside of us to come into head-to-head contact with the challenges on the outside. And it's not us waiting on God. It's God waiting on us. When you begin to shout unto God with a voice of victory, not for what you can do, but for who he is, all of a sudden, something, you're stirring up the greater one on the inside. You're stirring up the anointing and the word of God on the inside. And as you keep doing that, it's going to rise up and you begin to shout, this is my last day with this mess. These things are changing. My day is coming. It's time. I am the healed of the Lord. I am blessed going in, blessed, whatever it might be. You're beginning to praise him and shout unto him with the voice of victory while you're still barren, knowing that your expectation of who he is will bring you to there. Why are you shouting? Because he's great and mighty, and there is no God like him. There is no God who answers prayers and demonstrates his glory so that all those around you know that there is a God. It's one thing to get a raise when everybody's getting a raise. It's a whole new thing to get a raise when the company's doing cutbacks. It's one thing to get healed when all you have to do is take a few pills, and I'm not against medicine. But it's a whole other thing when the doctor says we have nothing that we can do to help you and you get healed. It's one thing to do it, to be for God to do something in your life, but it's when it's you have a backup plan and there's another alternative that other people are using, and you can say, well, I'll try to mix the two and see which one works. It's a whole other thing to say, God, it's just you and me, and there's nobody else and nothing they can do, and I'm still going to praise you. There's nothing I can take. There's no one I can call. There's nobody I can look to but you. And God is still well able to do something so that he gets all the credit, so that when people say, how in the world? When the devil tells you it's too late, it's not. When he tells you you're too old, you're not. When he tells you you're too young, you're not. When he tells you you're not smart enough, you're not. All those things are lies of the devil. Don't worry, because it's not about you. It's all about him. It's bringing him on the scene. It's releasing the greater one. It's bringing God into your moment, his super, into your natural. And you do that beginning by breaking forth, by breaking forth, by breaking forth. But I don't feel it. Don't be worried about emotions. They come and go. You got to be willing to grab yourself and tell yourself, open your mouth and begin to shout unto God. God, because if you believe, you're going to speak it. But I don't feel anything. You're priming the pump. You're priming the pump. You're priming the pump. You keep priming the pump. And I'm here to tell you, as you prime the pump, the Spirit of the living God who lives within you will begin to rise up, begin to rise up. And out of your belly, out of your spirit person, shall flow rivers of living water. And you begin to see things around you change and to come into harmony, alignment with the word and will of God. As you break through that season of being stuck, held back, and under attack, and you come out ahead, and he gets all the credit. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, for 20 more minutes. Come on, somebody. Amen.
Yes.
Well, we got to move forward. So let's get ready to hand out. Thank you. Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. You make room to shout. You make time to shout. Get in your car if you have to. You begin to shout unto God. There's times that I didn't have a song to sing. All I could do is scream at the top of my voice, not even saying a word, just to let God know that I am shouting unto him because he is victorious. You'll drive down the road just go, hey! Woo! Jesus. You doing? That's none of your business. I'm calling somebody. Hallelujah. Better than 911. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.